This is Halftime with the Playmakers, your midweek partner with the live show, The Playmakers, at airs on WANM FM 90.5 every Saturday from 12:30 to 2 p.m. It's the one and only Jeffrey Hood Jr. in the building, and today we have a jam-packed show talking about family football, college football, MLB, a little bit of NBA talk, as well as ended off with some NFL. But I have some amazing guys in the studio with me and another new face in the studio with me. Fellas, talk to him.
What's going on, everybody? I'm excited to be here. My name is Jay Lloyd. Happy to be on my first episode with The Playmakers and excited to bring that new sauce to the Flavor Station.
Yo, what's going on, y'all? It's the guy EJ, also known as EJR3. Every journey remembered, let's make some more.
Wait, what is it?
EJR3, every journey remembered, let's make some more.
Okay.
Let him cook.
Hey, man, y'all already know who it is, man. It's GT. They call me three-peat coming from the
Sipo.
912 Savannah, Georgia. Let's get it.
What up? It's your favorite host, the one that do the most, your favorite country Nigerian. It's your boy Fees. What's happening? Representing the Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and all of Louisiana, you heard me?
Fellas, how y'all feeling today?
Hey, man, I'm feeling good.
Great.
Feeling great.
As always, we start off the show with FAMU. FAMU is fresh off their bye as they're heading to another SWAC opponent game as they go against Jackson State, who is 4-2. Fellas, what should we expect from FAMU, or what should we expect from Jackson State going in this game?
Good game. I think it's going to be a very good game. I thought Alabama State and FAMU had game of the year potential. It was a good game, but it wasn't game of the year. But Jackson, I mean, they're not ranked in the FCS. They 25th. FAMU is 18th. It's a lot of SWAC implications on the line for this game, man. It's a toss. I really don't know who's going to win this game, honestly.
And also, too, it's a make or break it game for Jackson State, because if they lose, they most likely are not going to win the SWAC.
Well, I think it's for both of us.
It's for both of us.
We haven't lost a game in the SWAC yet. They already lost. They lost to Grambling State.
That game doesn't count against a SWAC record.
It was non-conference.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's make or break for either or to go back to the SWAC championship.
So like in the past three, maybe 2 years, this game has been the deciding factor of who's going to represent the SWAC East every single time. So right now, I think this is a make it or break game for us, but more so for Jackson State.
Wait, how long is it? I remember it was at press today. How long has it been since FAMU's been to Jackson?
FAMU hasn't been to Jackson since 2014.
Oh, jeez.
And Jackson ain't an easy place.
It's not an easy place to play. It's definitely not an easy place to win. So it's going to be interesting, brother.
They stay in hold about 60,000
They led the FCS in attendance last year. So
jeez.
It's gonna be a packed game for sure.
Ever since Deion came, their stadium has been packed every single game. Yeah, not every single game, but mostly every single game.
But also, you kind of got to take into account, fam. You not played at Miami. They not played it. When I was at Troy Stadium was so turned up when I was there. They not played there. They not played at Alabama State Homecoming. So it's not like they haven't played at
Yeah, they kind of battle stadium. Tested already.
They are battle tested, exactly.
If we can even go back last year when they had to play at Southern, like, that was in a welcome environment.
I was there. That game was lit.
It was very, I don't know, between Southern and Jackson State, when it comes to, like, home field advantage, It's they right there neck to neck. You feel me? I'm just glad that we don't play Jackson and Southern on the road this year. So the schedules to make us did a good job on that one part. But I still think FAMU's gonna come out with the win. I like what they did with it, especially stopping the run, because remember that was the issue. We thought Alabama State was gonna be able to run all over FAMU. Alabama State really wasn't able to establish a solid run game as they should have. But I don't know. But Cozy has got the team playing, but we were judging them off of the two losses to the FBS schools. But they came back in SWAC play, and they showed us, like, oh, yeah, we still run the SWAC.
So what are the key takeaways for FAMU to come out the game with a dub?
Simple, man. You just got to run the ball, stop the run. We haven't shown that we can run the ball consistently well yet throughout the season. I'm hoping that this changes the game, and we have to also stop the run as well. And we've dealt with a couple of one-dimensional quarterbacks so far throughout the season. Jackson State has a quarterback who can move it through the air, move it on the ground as well. So I'm just looking forward to see how we perform against an offense like that. But it should be a good test for our team.
So
get a lead early.
And that is
true. Yeah, play fast.
So even when we go back to the Jackson State game, like when we say that they stopped the run, they even though they allowed over 200 yards rushing, even though they allowed over 200 yards rushing, it showed. But Jackson had to run the ball at least like they. I think if I might be wrong, but I think they ran the ball like 45 times, and they only passed it 4 times. So the fact that they still only came up with 13 points for that whole entire game shows that if you put FAMU to make it into a balanced game, that we could really, like, turn it up for real, for real.
This is what I say. Get a lead early and test Jackson State quarterback, because his numbers look nice. When you look at it game by game, he doesn't throw the ball often. It's been games where he's thrown it 12 times, 15 times, 20 times. I don't know if he's thrown the ball over 25 times in a game. So I want to test and see what he looked like when he gets some throws on his belt, to see if that completion percentage is really up there like it's supposed to be.
So his best game was a shootout against Alabama A&M. And then I'm going to tell you what his yardage has been.
That was a game that they almost got came back on, by the way.
Yes, it was. Against Grambling, which was his worst game, he went 5 for 12 for 139 yards. Against Southern, even though they won big, he only threw for 155 yards, 21 attempts. 11 attempts against, I think, Lamar. Texas Southern, he kind of struggled in the first half, but picked it up in the second half, went for 22 attempts too, like you were saying. But they don't pass the ball, and they haven't really been tested on passing the ball, like you said. So if we could get up early, I think this would be a game for us.
Country, I'm going to go around the table, though, but score prediction.
You know I'm bad with score predictions. I'm going to say FAMU 31, Jackson State 20.
I got this being a lower scoring game. I'm going to say FAMU 27, Jackson State 20.
FAMU 24, Jackson State 17.
Woo! Hey, I'm going to say tune into the Tallahassee Democrat on Friday for my score prediction, because I still don't know yet.
For me, I'm going to go 28-17. I think it's going to be really tight. But now, fellas, talking about another tight game in Alabama. University of Alabama once again snuck out a close game that should have been close to begin with, but they beat South Carolina 27-25. Fellas, what are your takeaways from that game?
I got a question for you. When you say shouldn't have been close,
thank you.
Are you talking about Alabama?
It should have been close.
South Carolina actually gave that game away. Which one are you talking about?
I'm talking about from Alabama's perspective. Should have been close. It shouldn't have been close.
It shouldn't have been that close.
We're talking about the talent perspective. No, it shouldn't have been close.
Because that's what I'm talking about.
But if we're talking about coaching,
and I think that's the problem.
The boy got out coached against Beamer.
He got out coached twice. This is two times in a row.
Actually, three times in a row, if we're being honest, because Kirby actually outcoached him
In the second half, for sure. Yeah, in the second half, for sure.
He caught on to his game. He doesn't do dink and dunk. He doesn't. Everything is explosive plays, explosive plays, explosive plays. So as long as you have a capable team that can stop the run and they can defend the pass deep, you're gonna beat Alabama. Alabama's very predictable now, and we never saw that with Nick Saban, but now we're starting to see that with Kevin DeBoer. And a lot of Alabama fans are starting to get scared now.
Your take, Justin, on the game?
This is my take on the game. I feel like when we say it should have been close, we're doing a disservice to how tough the SEC really is. I mean, you just look across the conference. If you look across the entire conference, we've seen a lot of games like this. It kind of started off with that Georgia and Kentucky game. We saw last week Alabama loses to Vanderbilt. We saw, Kentucky beat Ole Miss.
Yeah.
They actually beat Ole Miss. And then last week, Tennessee has a close game against Florida, who, I mean, everybody just looks at Florida as, I guess, one of the bottom tier teams in the SEC right now. It's a tough conference. It's a battle every week. I think that South Carolina came to play. They have a quarterback whose play style has historically given Alabama issues with his play style. And he was able to show some flashes of what he could do. He's a young quarterback, hasn't had much experience yet, but he was able to show some flashes that weekend. And I just look at Alabama. We're talking about Kalen DeBoer right now. I want to talk about Kane Womack and his defense and the struggles they've had. They have a tackling issue, and we talk about how they haven't really been able to get pressure on quarterbacks. This weekend they were. They just weren't able to finish the plays, and you're playing against a strong quarterback, but they have to be able to finish those plays where it looks like they have the quarterback down in the backfield, but somehow he escapes. I think offensively for Alabama, this was a good test for them. We saw them be able to put together a drive late in that game, and we saw how it looked when Ryan Williams was kind of minimized in a setting.
Yeah.
And Jeremy Bernard was actually a receiver that stepped up for them. We were looking to see that. A lot of people viewed him as their number one receiver, so I think this was a good test for them.
Hey, Justin, I got a question for you.
Right.
So, this is a question, man. It's just more of a, just, so how can you, when you talk about the defense, right, how can you blame the defensive coordinator when it's the players that's making bad tackles?
I mean, I think that just goes down to coaching.
Like what he means by that is putting the players in the position to succeed and they're not doing their job.
Okay, so that's what you mean.
Yes, exactly. So
okay.
I think tackling, I mean, if we talk about tackling, that's a fundamental. That comes from practice. So I don't know what the issue is exactly from tackling, whether it's a technique deal, but they weren't able to do it. And it was something that kind of popped up in the second half against Georgia as well. They struggled to finish on some of those plays. So moving forward, that has to be a point of emphasis for them. I would like to see them blitz more often on third and fourth down.
Because they get home.
Yeah, it's an issue for them to give up those third and six, third and five plays. And just change it up a little bit more on offense, I think, could be a use. They run it a lot with Jalen Murrow, but you have two talented backs in the backfield that they can utilize a bit more for my liking.
You, EJ? My takeaway from this game, I think it was way too close. I think coming off the loss to Vanderbilt last week, this needed to be a statement game. They needed to come out and show that they were still the Alabama team that everyone knows. And for it to be close versus South Carolina, it's a little worrying for me. I look at their schedule, the next three games they got coming up. They play three
at Rocky
teams.
Top. Just stop there. Just stop there. Just stop there.
You got Tennessee, then you got Mizzou, then you got LSU. And, you know, coming back-to-back games where it's close against teams that shouldn't have been close against teams you are supposed to blow out the water, it makes me nervous for the upcoming schedule. So I'm going to be looking at Alabama, not knowing if I can exactly say they're the favorites in all these games for me, and that's kind of my takeaway.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. Why should they be nervous to go play against Tennessee?
I ain't saying they're nervous. I'm nervous for them.
Tennessee is hard to win, and the last time they played in Tennessee, they lost.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you one thing about Neyland Stadium. When Alabama comes to town, it's over 105,000 people at that stadium. That stadium will get to rocking. And here's the thing. This is about to be Kalen DeBoer's biggest test.
What?
In the SEC.
Yes, it is.
No, I
name me a bigger test.
I fully believe that if we think Georgia is the team that they are, then that is a bigger test.
No, that's not what we're saying. We're talking about biggest test away.
Listen, on the road? DeBoer,
yes.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Georgia, it was at tea time.
Yeah.
Now he has to go to Neyland. He has to go to Death Valley.
And Norman. But I'm considering the atmosphere, not the team. The atmosphere, not the team.
But it's like you got to take into consideration. You coming from the Pac-12, now you coming to the SEC. Mm. It's a different ball down here. Like you just said, the SEC. We talking about how competitive the SEC is. But when you go on a road on the SEC, it's a different level of competition. You feel me?
That's fair.
Like, let's be real. If Ole Miss was playing LSU at Ole Miss, I think
it'd be a different story. Yeah,
a whole different game.
But playing the Tiger Stadium at night?
Bro. Woo! Don't get no better than that.
Listen, you don't. Like, LSU has only lost 13 games in our history at Tiger Stadium at nighttime. Just think about it. The stadium's been open for 100 years, and we only lost 13 times at night, and we played over 300 night games.
Yeah, it's a good record.
So it tells you atmospheres play a huge factor when it comes to these college games. So now let's see how he's going to react when it's over 105,000 teams.
Not even that. Not even the students. When they hear Rocky Top. When they hear the song. That's it. That's it.
Over and over. After every first down. It gets tiring, bro. So it's like we gonna see what he's really built about, if he's really built for the SEC. And if his team built for the SEC, because they had a little nice little walk, and they've been able to little skate away on different games and stuff like that. Because if he was playing at Stanford, I don't think Alabama would have won that game. If they was playing in South Carolina, how close that game was,
yeah, I don't think they won it either.
So, that man went to Vanderbilt and lost.
And they won by two.
UG, what's your take on it? On the game.
I love chaos. I keep telling y'all that.
I'm with that.
I love the chaos, bro. Like, I mean, I know Alabama won, but I with college football, I just don't like seeing all the top teams just blow everybody out when they're not ranked. Like, I wouldn't be opposed to seeing some top teams lose, you know what I mean? So, you know, just to get some, you know, it's a 12-team playoff, you know, it's gonna be interesting to see how it plays out. But I love it. I love the chaos.
Can y'all do me a favor? Can y'all name a notable performance that Tennessee has had against a good team this year? Name one.
Florida?
Jeff.
Florida? No.
Against a good team.
You got to play against a team that's in front of you. They played against Oklahoma, and they didn't look too bad, but Nico looked better.
They looked decent against North Carolina State. I'll give them that, but they're not even.
What do you mean decent against North Carolina? They blew
North Carolina. Well, yeah, I'm saying like they look good. Like they look decent. They look good.
North Carolina State was ranked at the time.
Yeah.
So it's like you could use that same excuse on Ole Miss. You feel me? Because Ole Miss came into the SEC play. Everybody was thinking like Ole Miss might have had the best team. Like, if we being real, because nobody scored a touchdown on Ole Miss until they got to SEC play. And now they looking like a shell of themselves. Already lost two SEC games, and now that just eliminated them from college football potential.
Yeah.
Right. Just at the moment, and we ain't saying it's over yet, because they still got to play against Mississippi State. Y'all know how that egg bowl gets. And they still got to play against Alabama.
For me, my takeaway from this game, I remember I said 2 weeks ago when I was at the Alabama versus UGA game, I said, Milroe could come away with Heisman. I mean, That first half performance was great. I was sold. But then now, you go 60 for 23, 209, two interceptions.
Not Heisman numbers.
I don't know what the problem is. I don't know if he lost confidence after the Vanderbilt game. I don't know if he's reading the field wrong. I don't know if guys not making separation. I mean, you have the wide receivers. I don't know.
It's the play calling.
Just decision making,
too. And I'm not gonna lie, Alabama's schedule don't look too easy after this.
No, that's what I was saying.
You got Tennessee on the road. I mean, you come back home to Missouri. We don't really know what Missouri is. Then you got to go to LSU. Mm-hmm. Then Mercer, you know, that's a walk. But then you go to Oklahoma. Then you got the Iron Bowl.
It's not a cakewalk.
That's a tough stretch for Alabama. I just look at this game as you have two teams who the last 2 weeks they've been struggling. I understand the environment is cause for concern, but I think Alabama has the talent on that roster to be able to pull them out of that game. And I think when we compare it to that 22 game, that's a completely different game for me. That was a year where Alabama had all the talent on defense. They still struggled, but Tennessee was actually a very good offensive team going into that game. This is a complete reverse of that game.
I think Alabama still has that tough defense, and I think with Nico 6'6", that can run and throw, that hasn't been seen before at 6'6", is what, Trevor Lawrence, I want to say? Well, that type of prototype, which Trevor Lawrence did beat them. I think it might be tough.
Trevor Lawrence, Nico.
Well, Clemson, Trevor Lawrence. Clemson, Trevor Lawrence.
Are we really about to try to disregard that 2022 Alabama team? Like, they wasn't
no, that good. Team was good.
That team was good, but offensively was one of its... That team was good.
No. Will Anderson, Brian Branch. Oh, my gosh.
Defensively, it wasn't a good team, though.
What?
Defensively, it wasn't a good team. Didn't we gave... They gave up, like, 34 against LSU.
That's LSU with Jaden Daniels. Like,
they gave up 52 to Tennessee. What are we talking about?
Tennessee's offense was insane.
Okay, so we acknowledged that their offense was insane, but we also have to acknowledge that defensively, that was not the same team. That was still a Pete Golden coach team.
That's the day Jalen Hyatt literally became on the scene. Jalen Hyatt scored 5 touchdowns by himself. That was Jalen's height.
It was like 5 touchdowns, 150 plus receiving yards.
254 yards on 5 catches. Every time he touched the ball was a touchdown.
God, blur.
Like, it was nothing Alabama could do that day to stop Jalen Hyatt. Jalen Hyatt was really the only reason why Tennessee won the game. And, of course, Alabama had their little mistakes, fumbles, and XYZ, things of that nature. But still, Alabama's offensively was too strong for Tennessee.
Speaking about another blur game, let's talk about Oregon coming out with a win against Ohio State, winning 32-31. Somebody got blurred.
Somebody got.
Somebody named Denzel Burke got blurred.
Somebody had a little mental lapse.
What? Will Howard?
Yeah. Let's talk about it, fellas. What's your take on it?
First of all, with that Will Howard situation, mm-hmm. Why didn't the clock reset back in 10 seconds?
You talking about when Jeremiah Smith did the pass interference?
Yeah. No.
I think
no.
They took.
It was a delay.
The 12 men on the field.
Oh,
you talking about that?
Yeah.
So why would they let the time run off and not put the time back up?
That I couldn't tell you.
I just saw something. They're looking at that because I guess there's something about 12 men on the field call.
Yeah, shouldn't even had happened.
Yeah.
Because they came out with 12 men on the field and the time was supposed to put back with 10 seconds. That's what Will Howard thought was. He thought he still had 10 seconds left.
Oh, yeah. I can definitely tell that. Like I said, they're looking into that, seeing how the 12 men, like that rule, how that
affected the game.
Yeah, exactly.
It really did affect the game because it's like that. Them seconds was actually precious because if Will Howard had at least, and let's say it took 6 seconds to run that play.
Yeah.
Now, if he did that slide, guess how much time they would have had left? They would have had 4 seconds left and they had a timeout.
Timeout. They would have kicked the field goal.
They was in field goal range. And that's why I was like, I don't know if that was fair to say Will Howard was kind of like idiotic for that, but it was just like, I don't know. I think the refs messed up at the end of the game. Because if you're gonna call 12 man, you gotta put that. You gotta put them seconds back up. Cause y'all stopped the play. Y'all stopped the play completely. And that pass interference was very questionable.
What's your take on it, fellas?
I just want to say shout out to Dan Lanning, man. We saw last year. We obviously should have, could have, would have. You know, I know that OSU or Ohio State, they could have won that game. They didn't. We got to move on to talk about the results. I want to say shout out to Dan Lanning, though. Last year, we saw him have two rough losses to Washington top 5 teams. This year, he finally got one. I think that this is a sign that he can build a monster at Ohio, or not Ohio State, at Oregon. We looked at that program before in the past. We always thought, hey, they'll have the flash, but they won't have the grit to be able to compete with some of the top teams. This time they showed it. And I think it's only going to get better from here. I look forward to seeing how they play throughout the rest of their schedule. But I'm looking at Ohio State, the roster they brought, the secondary that they have. That's performance. You can't give up that type of performance.
Nah.
You can't give up that type of performance. I look at Ryan Day, and this being just another big moment in his career that ends up in an L. We're going to see how Ohio State can bounce off from this. But
they can bounce back with Penn State. But it's at Penn State.
I don't believe in Penn State, but that's another topic.
I don't know if that's much of a test for them, but, you know.
I don't know if it's a tough test for them, because I don't think Penn State is a good team. I really don't think.
They haven't proven that to
me
yet.
They haven't proven, yes. And then they're playing against their schedule is supposed to be like a cupcake walk for them, and they have struggled in mostly all their games.
That's true. Your take, EJ?
My takeaway from this game, love this game. Will Howard throwing for over 300 yards. Both quarterbacks throwing for over 300 yards and two touchdowns. I think this is the opportunity for Oregon to play a tough team, a ranked team, for the first time this season, and they were able to showcase, you know, they do deserve that three spot. I don't know if there was questions that they should be the ranked number three, but I think they showed that they should.
Oh, no, it was questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they was tight with Idaho. Boise. Was it Idaho State and then Boise State?
Yeah, Boise, right, they won by three. So, yeah, this was a good game for them to showcase, you know, they really
were
good.
Exactly.
UG? Yeah, I was going to say the same thing, because I mean, like you said, Oregon always been that team that got flash, and then, you know, they play against one of the blue bloods of college football and lose those type of games. But to see them grind out a victory like that against a team like Ohio State, it showed they want that ranking that they get. And oh my goodness, I mean, what are we doing, Ohio State? What's up with 7 catches for 149, 7 catches for 75, 4 catches for 62? He even got this dude one catch for 32 yards.
They got that spit on somebody.
I'm about to go walk on Oregon team. and I'm gonna tell them I want to play against Ohio State. I can earn me a scholarship if that's what numbers that we can put up against them.
Trayshawn Holden looked like he was about to get loose last night. He made a dumb decision though.
Yeah.
Can't make that type of decision in a big game. But he looked like he was gonna get loose that night too.
Let me add that up.
Yeah, it was Trayshawn Holden. Yeah.
I thought that was Evan Stewart.
Mm-mm.
Evan Stewart is number 7. I thought Evan Stewart was number 1.
Whew. Also, let me add, and I mean, I know I'm about to sound like a coach saying this, but just looking at the numbers, Oregon played very. They played with what's the word I'm looking for?
What is the word you're looking for? I'm trying to think. What you trying to say?
They played with discipline. I had a brain flaw just now. I done heard that word so many times over the past few weeks, bro. But they played with discipline. Three penalties for 25 yards. You ain't beating many teams like that, especially if they're on the same level as you talent-wise.
That's true. G, you touched on it a little bit, but this was a statement game for Evan Stewart. I mean, everybody kind of forgot about him with the Texas A&M. We saw one good game out of him when he played against Alabama. You know, that game back then could have been a pass interference, could have been a whole different story when they did lose Alabama. But this was a statement game for him to make people remember that, hey, I was the number one wide receiver coming out of my class. Hey, I'm still this guy. You know, I can still win one-on-one jump balls. Anywhere you need me to go, I can go get it. And it was a big statement game for him. I was glad to see him that he sparked off, because at some points I'm like, dang, is Evan Stewart still on the roster? Like, what is he doing? But big game by him. Now we're going to move on to the last big prime game. LSU defeated Ole Miss.
I see you smiling, country.
I see me tripping out, too.
LSU defeated Ole Miss in a overtime game, winning 29-26. Just, I'm going to start with you, country.
No,
go ahead, country. You're the LSU guy, you know.
Okay.
Big win, so I'll let you take over.
What you want me to say?
Just what are your takeaways from the game, winning 29-26, you know?
So my takeaway from the game was they say happens, Death Valley is where opponent's dreams come to die. You feel me? And when you look at the game, we thought it was going to be a high-scoring game, first and foremost, because the way the LSU defense has been looking for the pass, the way the LSU defense has been looking for the pass all season has been bad. Can't stop the run, can't stop the pass, can't stop anything. But it always was a testament, too, on how good of a coach Lane Kiffin is. Because when it comes down, when Lane Kiffin gets punched in the mouth, he doesn't know how to react sometimes. Like, he gets away from things that's working to go back to what he wants to do. And my thing was, you had Jackson Dart. Jackson Dart was actually gashing.
He was throwing darts.
No. I'm talking about when he was running.
That too.
Like, if they had used Jackson Dart in more of a, like, a run scheme, it would have been a totally different game, because he wasn't getting stopped. He was getting like 10 yards a pop before he even got touched. But he wanted to show a statement that he could come into LSU and really beat up on LSU through the pass game. But it didn't work that way, because what we was ready, we was prepared, and our pass rush really like killed Jackson Dart.
Six sacks.
Yeah. Yes. Theo Weiss, come on now.
I think it was a big game for you guys. I think at some points in the game, though, you guys shot yourselves in the foot, kicking multiple field goals. And if y'all capitalized on each drive that y'all did kick field goals, I think this would have been a blowout.
I think, honestly, too, that drop touchdown on the first drive is what really saved our game. Because
Trey Harris, he was gone.
He just flat out dropped it. And then, Ole Miss had plenty of opportunities to make the game at least 21-0. The first one was the touchdown that was dropped. Second one, they got into the red zone, deep in the red zone, and then they started having flags to push them back to kick a field goal. Then after that, they was in the red zone again, got stopped on fourth down with a missed block. Like, that's 21 points right there that was just gone. You was only able to come up with 3 points out of that. That's crazy. But then we got to talk about the nuts bus. Greg Nussmeier is the truth.
Yeah, he's like that.
Can we at least admit that now?
He's like that. No, he's like that.
Greg really, like, showed something, because he started the game terrible. Like, Greg was bad. Like, throwing interception there. I'm like, bro, what are you doing? But then, when it came down to it, ice in his veins, man, he hit the trip out man himself, the YN himself. Byron Lazy for a 25-yard touchdown. That's sick. I can't even say what I want to say. But howdy, howdy, back to Mississippi. Go Tigers.
You guys?
I mean, honestly, when I look at this game right now, pass pro is probably really what killed Ole Miss. They ran the ball pretty effectively, I'd say. They ran the ball. I would just say that this is a bad loss for Ole Miss. When I looked at their schedule at the beginning of the year, I'm like, oh, they don't have Alabama on the schedule this year? Hey, the last few years, that's kind of been the hump that they failed to get over. Now you remove that off the schedule, and the rest of their schedule looked pretty manageable. And now you go and you look at this team, they're moving forward with two losses, and they still have to play Georgia on the road.
Hey, Justin, let me welcome you to the SEC really quick, all right? I'm not even trying to be funny. Alabama is not the only team in the SEC for Ole Miss to get past. That's one. Ole Miss also always got to get past LSU and Mississippi State. That's always been their biggest Achilles heel. And when you watch their games, you'll know, like, they knew if they lost this game, that was their chance, because they still got to play against Georgia. Now their chances of going to the SEC is actually done.
It's done.
No, they already got a loss on their thing. And they had one before they came to LSU. Now they got two. Now they're going to Georgia.
Yeah, he might as well chalk three.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you're out, because Texas is looking good.
Right.
LSU's looking good.
Right.
Alabama still has a good record.
Right.
Even Vandy is looking good. So it's like you still got at least like six teams in the SEC that's actually jawing for a playoff spot. Tennessee, I forgot about Tennessee.
Yeah.
But I forgot about Georgia too. Like, what am I doing? But yeah, so you got all those teams. So now you looking, now look at Ole Miss, you like, I don't know if y'all can really do it.
Time to pack your bags, buddy.
This is the year that everybody say Ole Miss only had one loss on their record.
I was one of them.
Jeff was one of them.
That was
he
me
said
too.
They was either going to lose to LSU or Georgia, but they wasn't losing them both. Now it's looking like they about to lose the both of them.
Exactly.
And they got lost.
You, EJ?
My biggest takeaway from this game, shout out to LSU. Definitely looked solid in the second half. Good. You know? Yeah. I will. but for Ole Miss, though, I mean, what's the word you use, G? Discipline? Discipline, 12 penalties for 110 yards? Come on now, that can't happen.
But that's been them all season.
I know. And it's just things like that is exactly why I look at them now, looking at the schedule. They got Oklahoma, Arkansas, Georgia. Y'all saying Georgia might be the only one they drop. They might drop a couple more. I don't know. So that's my biggest takeaway. I don't think Ole Miss looked solid.
EJ stole mine. I was going to say, I said 12 penalties for 110 yards is crazy.
I thought it was more than that.
That's what they got.
Probably felt like
more. That's how it probably felt.
It probably felt like more.
Overtime really like killed them.
Yeah.
Like, and then it was unforced errors too. Like, Ole Miss was just making a bunch of dumb penalties. And like Justin had said, they had just kept running the ball. They were won.
I mean, look. I mean, if we just run down it, this is a game that Ole Miss has to win. Like, They outgained them in total yards, control time possession. They go 11 for 22 on third down, while LSU goes 6 for 17. I mean, this is a game you're supposed to win this game. 180 rushing yards for Ole Miss versus LSU 84. This is a game you have to win. And it's just a stain on their schedule. And moving forward, it's going to be a loss that they look back on the season and like, dang, we should have got this one. We should have got it.
Now, fellas, let's shake it up a little bit. Let's talk about the MLB. Now, World Series is slowly approaching.
Oh, real quick, breaking news.
What's up?
Amari Cooper has been traded to the Buffalo Bills.
We will talk about that a little bit later in the episode. Back to baseball, though. So, the Dodgers and Mets are tied 1-1 right now. The Dodgers took game 1, 9-0. The Mets took game 2, 7-3. Just what is your takeaway? How far can the Mets really go despite how far they are right now? Can they potentially make it to the World Series against this star-studded Dodgers team?
All I'm going to say about the Dodgers, they better not lose.
They're going to hear some allegations if they lose. But the Mets, I think they can. I think they can. How they look game two, when they came out game one, you know, I thought, okay, the Dodgers about to run away with this, about to be a 4-0 sweep. Let's get it going. Have a Dodgers versus Yankees World Series, you know what I'm saying? But the Mets, look solid. I think the way they stole game two, I think that if they continue to play the way they've been playing, having good pitching rotations, they can come out from the series.
I still think the Dodgers are going to take. I think it's still going to be a gentleman's sweep.
Oh, yeah, if you ask me my opinion, the Dodgers is going to win the series.
So you have the Dodgers win the series?
Yeah. Despite
how strong the Mets have been looking?
Yes.
Does Mets look strong in one game against the Dodgers?
Did you have the Mets beating the Phillies? Be honest, because I didn't.
I did.
Whoa. What?
The Phillies has really never showed you that they're really strong in the postseason.
They do be selling in the postseason.
A lot.
As a Braves fan, I know they got us a couple of times.
Yeah, I was about to say.
as a Yankees fan, a new Yankees fan, shout out to the Yankees.
He said new.
when it started?
Last year.
Okay.
He lying.
It didn't start last year. Like,
go ahead. Just go. No, go.
You don't remember me with the jersey on?
I can wear a jersey.
You remember the day that we went to that little what's it called, that little restaurant when Brian was there?
Anyway,
he's lying.
I'm a Yankees fan too because of Jazz. Shout out Jazz. Yeah, a Marlins fan.
He's lying too.
Nah, I'm a big Jazz fan, so you know, let's go Yankees. And the Yankees versus Mets World Series would feed families.
Definitely.
He said feed families.
A Yankees versus Mets fan.
That's going to shake the world.
Mm-hmm. That's actually going to destroy fans.
Too much New York for me, I'm going to be honest.
If I'm being honest, though, I'm looking at Shohei Ohtani's stats right now. His batting average is 222. You had a stellar regular season career. Great. Now we get to postseason. Kind of like a no-show like Aaron Judge, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, that's not far-fetched to say.
If I'm being honest, that's why I'm a little bit nervous if they could really beat the Mets, because if Shohei don't show up,
but you know,
slight.
Postseason baseball has still been the same thing. It's about who got the best bullpen.
That's true.
And right now, as long as you can get on base, we good. I still got the team that's going to do it is the Dodgers. I got the Dodgers winning the whole thing.
Wait, the World Series too?
Yes.
But he's a Yankees fan, y'all.
I was.
But he's a Yankees fan, y'all.
I was confused on that too.
I just said a new Yankees fan. I can't listen, bro. Can I?
No, Justin. Who do you have winning this series, and then who do you have potentially winning the World Series?
The Dodgers better win this series. I'm just gonna say that the Dodgers better win this series. But as far as winning the World Series, I gotta lean Yankees. I was a Yankees fan growing up, just a little bit. By Yankees fan,
so
I mean, I had a Yankees
senior,
hat,
man.
But, you know, I got the Yankees winning the World Series, but the Dodgers better not lose the series. They better not lose. They can't lose.
You, EJ?
I got the Dodgers coming out of this one. I don't think that the Mets kind of have the firepower to close out this series. I think the Dodgers go, they face the Yankees, and the Yankees win. Yeah, Yankees win the World Series.
Eugene?
As intriguing it would be to see a Mets versus Yankees series, I don't think it's happening. You know, some things just be too good to be true. You know what I mean? I think the LA Dodgers gonna get out. And I mean, the Yankees, how long been since the Yankees won a World Series? Like, I think they pretty due for one. Honestly.
They like the Cowboys, man. we ain't seen one since birth.
Yeah, they due for one, so this might be the year that they can get it done.
For me, I think Dodgers versus Yankees would feed families for sure, and I think that's going to happen. But the stars got to show up, like I said before. Shohei got to show up. Aaron Judge got to show up. You have Juan Soto kind of carrying the heavy load for the Yankees right now.
He did the same thing with the Nationals and still.
No, yeah, for sure. For sure, but the career, the regular season career that Aaron Judge came off of, I would expect that to translate in the postseason. That's why I'm a little bit.
Sometimes, you know, that it doesn't translate like that in the postseason. Like, look at Clay Kershaw. Remember, it was a period of time when
he was hooping.
In a regular season.
He was hooping.
He came to the postseason, he was a shell of himself.
That's true.
And the last time the Yankees won a World Series was 2009, by the way.
Now, let's talk about some NBA. This NBA season tips off 1 week away from today, fellas. But before we talk about the NBA season, who we have going to the finals, and a lot of other stuff, who do you have as your dark horse to make the play-in or playoffs, and why?
All right, so for the Western Conference, I would say my dark horse right now is the Houston Rockets.
Okay. And see, I ain't pushing no propaganda. Talk to me, Justin. All right. Let's go.
This is a team that got hot at the end of last year.
No. See?
This is a team that got hot at the end of last year.
You don't have to be friends with Jeff.
Yeah, yo.
Come on, Justin. Come on, Justin.
If it's me and Jeff right now, then don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But I'm going to push my Rockets propaganda for
Yep.
I think this is a team that has a very high ceiling defensively, and they added shooting and Reed Shepard. So to me, I think this is a team that right now, if we're talking about the beginning of the season, I think they're going to have some growing pains just getting used to the lineups that they could potentially run, because there's a lot of talent on this roster. You have two or three really good guards right now. But I think when we talk about the mid-season, that's when I think this team is really going to start to get hot. Well-coached team. And moving on, man, I got to push my own propaganda. The Hawks are a playoff team. The Atlanta Hawks will be a playoff team this year. We talk about how DeJounte Murray got traded. I truly believe it made us better. I think Jalen Johnson is going to be the most improved player in the NBA this year. I think that Dyson Daniels next to Trae Young is a perfect guard to pair with him. When we talk about a guard who has length, playmaking, defense, I think Zachary Richesche is going to have an impact on day one with his length and defense and his shooting ability. So I look at this team, I think it's a playoff team in the East. I'm not going to push my Trae Young MVP agendas right now. It's a little too early.
But yeah, that's why.
You sound like me with the Clippers. Speaking of the Clippers, now I'm playing.
I was about to say.
I don't see them as the dark horse. I was going to say this team here for the play-in. Not for the playoffs, for the play-in.
Who?
I was going to say the Spurs.
I was going to tell me why.
I'm saying why because seeing the preseason games that's been going on, I like what Chris Paul is unlocking with Wemby. I like that duo. I like the addition of Harrison Barnes. I think he adds versatility on the wing and the shooting and defense. I think maybe that team doesn't have the depth to make it, so that might be the only reason why they don't. But I think in general, I can see that team making the play-in. I'm not saying they make a push in the playoffs, but we're saying yeah. Dark horse for the play-in. I can see them sneaking into that 10th, 9th seed.
UG?
I don't really know if this is a dark horse or not, but I'm picking them just because it's always a matter of ifs. So if Zion stays healthy, I'm going to say the Pelicans.
I was just going to say that.
I know they say DeJounte Murray made the Hawks better. Well, DeJounte Murray getting traded makes the Hawks better, but I don't know, man. I'm kind of intrigued about that team. That team on paper seemed like one of those fun 2K teams that you play with DeJounte and CJ and B.I. and Zion. So if Zion can stay healthy, it might not even – If Zion can stay healthy and they cohesive, they might can skip the play-in stuff and jump straight to the playoffs. And I mean, for the East, I don't know. I'm going to say for the East, it's always
the Wizards. No, I'm just
kidding. I throw Miami in the. I mean,
that's a dark horse. That's a dark horse?
Bro, I'm not going to
I know, lie. But I don't think they're a dark horse. I think, like, they're just, you know, they always
going to be. I consider them a dark horse because they're kind of, like, forgotten. You know, you have the Sixers, Philly, Bucks,
okay,
Knicks.
They forgot
after that, it's kind of like, the Pacers. After the Pacers,
It's a drop-off, okay. So that's why I say okay. I don't know how Jimmy Butler's coming to the season. You know, I know he didn't. Everybody thought he was going to show up the media day bald and all that, but, you know, he showed up as himself.
It's contract year, friend.
Oh, yeah, contract year. You know, he might lock in this year. So, you know, that just remained to be seen.
You country? Do not say OKC because you said it last year. I remember that, so don't say it. What are you finna say?
Sacramento.
Okay.
Okay, why?
Okay, that was one of my teams.
DeMar DeRozan is actually like what a lot of people not talking about. Like, DeMar DeRozan is a great player. Let's be a lot of people don't give him credit he deserves, but
yeah, down the stretch he's a great player. Down the stretch,
and it was just like the bad years that don't put him on the Spurs,
the Bulls.
It was just not a good fit for him because he was happy in Toronto until they just dropped him like that for Kawhi. You know, and I think that addition just actually gave him that little hump, and also re-signed Malik Monk back too. So now they got additional depth on the bench, and also too, I really think Sabonis is gonna be another. He's gonna have another All Star type season.
Cause he got robbed last year.
Hey. No, definitely.
Are you at all?
Him at Malik Monk. I said Malik Monk.
De'Aaron Fox. Yeah.
Like I definitely think that they're gonna have. I don't even think they're gonna be a playing team. I actually think that they're gonna be a playoff team. I think they're gonna get that 60. But like you were saying earlier with New Orleans. It's all dependent on Zion and what Zion can stay healthy. And another team that nobody's talking about again is Memphis. Like, Ja's coming back healthy. And they got Zach Edey. So they got Sad. So you're not going to worry about Jared Jackson fouling out every single game. So now you got time and space to fill for Ja. Now him in the pick and roll with Zach Eaton might be something deadly.
I mean, I don't think Memphis is a dark horse team, though. No, when they were healthy, they were top two in the West.
Yeah. Memphis is a solid team.
Years. I mean, but I thought we were talking about dark horses. Teams is not being
talked about.
For me, I'm going to get on that Pelican side. I mean, you have DeJounte Murray,
Brandon Ingram,
CJ McCollum, Brandon Ingram,
Zion.
You could throw Trey Murphy in there or Herb Jones in the starting five with, I mean, yes, Daniel Tice is not the best five man. From what I'm hearing, he's the starting center, which they lack in size, but then you have either Herb Jones or Trey Murphy coming off the bench. Jordan Hawkins, listen, all I'm going to say is buy stock now. He can shoot. Mm. When it's up, go ahead and get back. Go ahead and get back on defense because it's going in. I think this team has the potential to be the sixth seed or the fifth seed.
It's that center position.
It's just that center position. That's it. But everything else is there for them.
But the thing is, if you look at what with OKC last year, we had bad center play.
Yeah.
It still carried us to a first seed until we got to the playoffs, which I said was going to be the issue all year.
Yeah.
And now that we fixed that, it's looking like that's the same issue that New Orleans is having too, because they don't have that big. So when you got to play against teams like the Mavericks, when you got to play against Minnesota, who does have, even though I don't really take them as a serious contender anymore because now they got Rudy Gobert, but it's still like that not being able to rebound becomes a problem when you talk about playoffs.
Yeah, I think just the five man kind of scares me as far as size wise, but they're good defensively, offensively, good in transition. Athletes just jumping out the gym for me, so that's why I'm saying the Pelicans. Nobody, I have nobody for the East right now. I will say the Rockets, but Justin already held it down for me. I appreciate that. But now, fellas, we're gonna talk about some NFL. Now, a lot has happened within this day we are recording right now. Davante Adams got traded to the New York Jets for a third round pick. Then we just broke the news that Amari Cooper just got traded to the Buffalo Bills. But we're gonna start things off with the devastating loss that the Dallas Cowboys took.
Yeah. Them boys got mollywopped.
Why are you saying devastating? That wasn't a devastating loss. That was an embarrassing loss.
Country, just, you know, on Jerry Jones' birthday, just keep it short and brief, man. Just your thoughts from that game.
Oh, I'm happy that happened on his birthday, too. Because it showed how incompetent of a owner he is. Like, let's be for real. Let's talk about why we really lost that game. It's because of you, Jerry.
No free agency moves.
No free agency moves. Oh, you got on this podcast. Oh, yeah. We're all in. And all in means sign Ezekiel Elliott?
I think it was all in that helicopter where he landed there in practice.
Right.
Bro, I'm just like, bro, what are we doing? Like, it doesn't make no sense. Yeah. You say you didn't even talk to Derrick Henry or you didn't even reach out to Saquon. Like, you didn't reach out to no defensive tackles that we could have used. You let your best second corner walk. Like, you could have got
a DB in the draft or somebody in the free agency.
I'm trying to think his name right now. Shoot. He played for us. Gilly, you could have let
Stephon Gilmore?
Yeah. And Stephon Gilmore was a good corner for us.
Yeah, good veteran guy. Best.
And then it's like we got injuries. We got nothing but rookies and first-year players playing on the defense. We look lost out there. Like Mike Zimmer's defense is very confusing for these guys.
Y'all had linemen out there running routes, back shoulder balls. Like, what's going on?
Nah, the Lions was playing around with y'all. That was recess for them.
I'm sitting here like, do y'all know the Lions did not even punt not one time? This is the second game this season that the team did not punt on us.
They had 9 scoring drives and y'all 9 points.
Nah, that's pretty bad.
And then to the standpoint of our offense is a shell.
Lackluster.
Lackluster at best. Like, we talking about, we don't have a run game. Our passing game is just Dak and CD.
You don't got a wide receiver, too.
We don't have a wide receiver, too. Our tight end, I don't know. If he wants to play, he plays some games, he plays the other game. Our offensive line is terrible. So it's like, Jerry, I hope you hear me. I hope you're listening somewhere in Cabo, wherever you are in Texas. Jerry, hang it up. It's okay. You don't need to do this anymore. I don't think you know what you're doing anymore. Because it's like, bro, why are you so scared about what happened 15 years ago? To the point that all you want to do is just draft, draft, draft. And yet, you talk about, this game has been working, and all we got to show for it is a divisional loss in a playoffs. Like, not even a conference loss, a divisional loss. Like, let's start spending money on free agents. Stop being scared. Last time you went on, you got a trade for somebody at the deadline. Guess what? It worked out with Amari Cooper. And then you traded him because he had 1,000 yards and 69 catches. I'm like, bro, I don't understand. And then you traded for a bag of Skittles and some M&M's.
He said bag of Skittles and M&M's. What you guys think on that loss, fellas?
I mean, listen. The Cowboys right now have a bottom 10 run defense in the league. And
bottom 10 run defense and bottom 10 run offense, too. Let that sink in, by the way. Go ahead.
They're dead last in the league in rushing yards per game right now for them. How many times did y'all run the ball this weekend?
We ran 16 times for 32 yards.
AG, we need to go on a 10-day contract. What's up, practice squad? They elevated?
Hey, Jerry, you listening? Hey, hit me up. Hit my agent up, man. Hey, we not no hard negotiators. We'll take about anything with that money y'all got. I mean,
we not hard to find. Yeah, we not hard to find, man.
I don't know, man. It's just hard to watch this team. It's, bro. Y'all know, hey, Jeff, I'm not even going to lie to you. So when we were going to Louisiana, it's November.
Yeah. Don't even go. Don't even go to the game.
I was taking a detour because the Cowboys is playing against the Eagles the following day.
Save your money, brother. Save that money.
My brother, don't you think I did? Man, I don't even want to see it. It's all good, brother.
You, EJ?
I'm actually going to give y'all some grace. Some grace. Let me do this.
Because you always had something to say about the Cowboys. I don't want you to back on now. Like, I promise you don't. Say what you want to say, brother.
But I want to say, well, first, I was going to say give y'all grace. Michael Parsons is not playing. DeMarcus Lawrence not playing. It shows.
Parsons is overrated, but continue.
I feel like that shows in your team. But your offense, I mean, everything y'all done said is true. No moves through free agency, picking up Zeke, thinking that's going to make a change. 5 turnovers in a game?
Are we at 5?
Yeah. Oh. 5 turnovers, Dak?
Yeah, come on. We almost had the same amount of turnovers than we had points.
Jeffrey Hood Jr. might have more juice than Ezekiel Elliott.
Man, let's talk about it.
Dak, 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions?
Like, you got to take a boo-boo real quick. Like, that's how he run.
That offense, it's just... it made me want to throw up. I'm not going to lie. Looking at these stats, Dak with 11.5 QBR rating, 17 for 33.
53 total rushing yards is crazy, too.
For an entire game. Y'all know we had 16 yards rushing at the end of the third quarter?
Jeesh.
3.9 yards per play.
Jeesh. Yeah, I can't deny you that. Y'all offense is bad. It's bad.
It's like, what direction can we go in? Because we can't go up because teams know it's literally just Dak.
You need more than one weapon. That's why y'all lost to the Packers in the playoffs.
You telling me this?
I know you know it, and I'm telling you.
It's something he know. It's something he already know.
I know you know, and I'm rubbing it in your face. Like, as an Eagles fan, I want to rub it in your face.
I'm not even mad at it.
I told you this during last year.
What's up?
Like, we talk about this over and over again.
Yeah.
We cannot win with one player being the focal point of our team, bro.
He ain't Bron.
When you take away C.D. Lamb.
That's take away the offense.
Our offense is based around C.D. Lamb.
But, Country, let me ask you this. Do you think that is because of CeeDee Lamb that there's no other weapons? That him being kind of seeing himself as one, the ball in his hands a lot? Do you think that the offense takes a step back because of that?
No, I don't. Okay. Here's the thing, right? Your receiver doesn't want the ball in the hand.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I'll give you a prime example of a team that really went out and did some things to put around their offense. Let's look at the Houston Texans, right?
Mm-hmm.
They had a quarterback who had a great rookie year. They could have said, oh, we got a good team. We don't got nothing. We don't have to improve on anything. What did they do?
Joe Mixon.
They went to go get Mixon, and they went to go get other pieces around the defense to make sure that he was comfortable. And they got some linemen, too. And they got some other receivers, too, in the draft while drafting good on the defensive side.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting here like, okay, the Cowboys, we might do the same thing. Oh, no, we not. What are we going to do? We're going to release everybody and just say, oh, the our starters. Was already
family reunion.
Zeke, where you at? Come here. We giving out a contract because the $5 million that we giving to you and the $4 million that we giving to whoever else, we could have just took that money and we could have gave it to Derrick Henry, but we would decide not to even give Derrick Henry a phone call. But we
decided to
give Zeke Elliott,
just save it, brother. Before we get into our pretenders, contenders and our quick picks of who knows ball, just quick thoughts on the two trades with Devontae Adams going to the Jets and Cooper and Amari Cooper going to the Bills. Quick.
Amari Cooper going to the Bills is actually a great move for Amari Cooper and the Bills, but it's time to let Deshaun Watson fall. That's one. Two,
Devontae Adams to
the Jets, I don't think it's going to do anything because I think Aaron Rodgers is actually just washed.
Okay. You, Justin?
Like you said, it looks like the Deshaun Watson era in Cleveland is over. This kind of feels like a move that's a sign of them sort of pivoting, moving in a different direction. I think it's a really good pickup for the Bills. I'm interested to see about the Devontae Adams move to the Jets. It's another weapon for them, but we talked about how good they were defensively coming into the season. I haven't really seen that same juice that they had last year yet so far. So I was hoping they would make a move with Reddick before they did anything on the offensive side of the ball, but I'm just interested to see how that move is going to turn out for them.
For me, the Amari Cooper trade doesn't really make sense after Stefanski said that they want to move forward with Watson. You trade away his best receiver if that's what you really believe, then I feel like that's not what you would have done for the team. I think the team is just going into rebuild mode. It looks like Deshaun Watson will be out the building soon, so that's how I feel about Amari Cooper. But for Adams, I'm curious to see how Garrett Wilson feels about that, because Garrett Wilson has had 10-plus targets in back-to-back games. He's been seeming like Aaron Rodgers' guy. I wonder how that's going to shape up in New York with that.
I mean, it's going to help. My bad.
It was, like, surprising but not surprising seeing Devontae Adams go to the Jets, because I personally felt like they had, like, a lot going on with just going through a coaching transition and escorting the man out the building. But, I mean, you know, he back with his guy. I mean, he's kind of in a similar situation a little bit. He just got a quarterback that he likes now. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. It's kind of crazy that they both traded for receivers not even 24 hours after they played against each other. But the Bills, Amari Cooper, like y'all said, the Deshaun Watson experience look like it's coming to an end. You know, it ain't Thanksgiving yet, but I'm thankful that the Falcons didn't get him, you know, in hindsight. Good moves, man. These teams trying to position themselves to make them runs, and the Jets trying to turn around their season a little bit.
Look at what you just said. Teams are trying to put themselves in position.
Let it go, country.
Let it go, man.
Let it go. We'll see you next year.
For me, I think Cooper going to the Bills, I think he's going to show flashes like he did back in Dallas. And for Devontae Adams, I mean, you're going back into another messy situation. I mean, granted, yes, it's better than me at quarterback in Las Vegas, but I mean, it's not going to make a difference. I don't see what jump they take until they address the Hassan Reddick situation. Now, fellas, before we get out of here, contenders and pretenders and who knows ball. Let's do contenders and pretenders first. Bills, contenders or pretenders?
Contenders.
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 Pretenders.
I got contenders. The Miami Dolphins.
Pretenders.
Pretenders.
What?
Pretenders.
Pretenders.
When Tua comes back, we're contenders. Yeah.
Anyways.
No.
New York Jets, contenders or pretenders?
Pretenders.
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 I'm not even going to say the Patriots. That's pretenders. Chiefs. With all the injuries.
Contenders still.
All right.
Still contenders.
Contenders.
As long as my homeboy did, contenders.
Pretenders. No, I'm just kidding. Contenders.
Chargers.
Pretenders.
Contenders.
Pretenders.
Pretenders.
They're pretenders.
Broncos.
Pretenders.
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 I got contenders. Raiders.
Contending what?
They got a slick chance.
I'm about to say, you talking about the Raiders contender for number one overall pick?
Yeah, I about to say.
Pretenders for the Raiders, though.
Yeah, pretenders, definitely.
Pretenders.
Ravens.
Contenders.
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 Contenders. Steelers.
Pretenders. Ooh.
Pretenders.
Pretenders. Pretenders. I'm disheartened by that decision that they about to make. Next, on to the next, though.
Bengals. Pretenders, sadly.
We can talk about that too. Joe Burrow is very old.
They can turn it around though.
No, actually. Pretenders.
I'll say contenders.
Browns, that says enough for itself. Texans.
Contenders.
Colts.
Pretenders.
Titans and Jags.
Come on, man.
give them both the same treatment.
Contenders for number one overall pick.
NFC. Let's talk NFC now. Commanders.
Pretenders.
Contenders.
Commanders.
Contenders.
We're here in the
They look solid against the Ravens, but I got to see.
The Commanders are actually a very bad team. But they got good coaching and a good quarterback. That's the only reason why they.
I'm gonna say,
Dan Quinn been doing his thing with that defense.
I'm gonna say, yeah. Oh man, that's hard.
I'm going contenders.
I'm going pretenders
man.
Right now.
I'm gonna take pretenders for right now.
Okay, we'll check back week 12. We'll do this back week 12. Eagles.
Pretenders.
Contenders.
Cowboys. My bad, country. My bad, man.
You said Cowboys?
Yeah.
Man, I'm going to say. For Travis Hunter, baby.
You can skip this one.
Cowboys are pretenders.
Giants, I think we already know that. 49ers.
Contenders.
Pretenders.
They're contenders.
Y'all better act like y'all. Oh, man.
Y'all only 500, though, right? Y'all 3-3.
Yeah, with no CMC, man. Just watch. You know what I'm saying? Seattle Seahawks.
Pretenders.
Cardinals.
Pretenders.
Come on.
Pretenders,
man.
Unfortunately.
Pretenders.
Rams.
Pretenders.
Pretenders.
Now we talked about this a couple episodes ago. The Vikings.
Pretenders.
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 Y'all heard that. He said contenders. Y'all heard him.
Pretenders.
Y'all heard him.
I'm going to say contenders.
Hey, shout out to them boys. They make a run with Sam Darnold as quarterback, but I think pretenders.
Okay, interesting.
I'm not mad at that.
Only a matter of time.
I think
man.
It's only a matter of time.
Yeah, exactly. Like
Lions.
Contenders.
They're contenders.
Contenders.
The Chicago Bears.
Contenders.
Pretenders.
I'll say contenders.
Don't.
Pretenders.
They played the Jaguars in London. Don't.
The Packers.
Actually, contenders. Actually, contenders.
I say contenders.
Contenders.
I get on contenders.
The Atlanta Falcons.
Contending for what?
Contenders. Contenders. We're contenders.
Yeah.
Yes. You're playoffs. Yes.
Don't make your decision
you
based
it,
on
you got it, you got it, you got it.
Contenders, man.
You got it.
Even though, I'm going to be real, we probably going to be watching Kendrick in February. I'm just going to say it.
It's cool.
But, I mean, I'm enjoying the ride, though. I'm going to be real.
Tampa Bay Bucks.
Contenders. It's going to be between them and the Falcons for that.
Pretenders.
Contenders. I'll give them contenders because I don't hate on teams.
Pretenders.
The Saints.
Pretenders.
I hate on them. I don't care what I hate on them.
But I'll never forget week one and two Saints.
They look like contenders.
Now, fellas, to end off the show, who no ball? Now, last week, Mike's not here with us, but he had the worst record. He went 6-8. As the record stands right now, I'm 41-12. Keeby's 15-10. G is 30-14. J Sky is 28-16. Country, you are 15-10. EJ, you are 25-10.
Oh man.
Mike is 17-19, and Justin Freshy, you're 9-3.
17-19 is nasty. And yeah.
I wish he was on the show.
He didn't show up for a reason today.
That's true. Mike, you know who had the worst record. You
hold
know who got it.
Hold up. You said 17 and 19 or 19 and 17?
17 and 19.
It's still nasty if it was 19-17. Come on, Mike. Lock in, bro.
Now, let's talk about these Week 7 games, fellas. I'm going to write it down so everybody's locked in. No switching. Broncos versus Saints. Thursday night, who taking?
Where's that? Where the game at?
It's in New Orleans.
Pastor Tan playing? He bet?
That I do not know.
Give me the Broncos.
I'm going Broncos.
Now I'm
going
to say Broncos.
I'm putting faith in Pastor Tan coming back. I'm saying Broncos.
I'm going Broncos as well. Next game, Pats versus Jaguars.
Oh, man.
Ooh. Yeah, this might be a loss to somebody. Somebody's going to be edited.
Where the game at?
London.
It's a make it.
Oh, Lord.
At this point, just
hold on. Don't the Jaguars play good in London?
I'm going Jags.
I'm going Jags.
Not last week. Listen, man. Drake May gets his first win this weekend. I'm looking forward to it. You're going Patriots.
I'm going Jags.
Okay, everybody's Jags other than Justin, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Bengals versus Browns.
Bengals.
Must win.
Everybody Bengals?
Yeah.
All right, great. Dolphins versus Colts.
Dolphins.
Colts.
I'm going to ride it down. I'm going Dolphins.
Give me the Colts.
Well, who you got, G?
Colts.
Colts?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going close. I think that Anthony Richardson comes back. Eagles versus Giants. I think this is everybody.
Eagles.
This is a great one. Lions versus Vikings.
This is amazing. I saw that
Lions. This is great.
I'm gonna say Lions. Would this be the beginning of the fall off? Or?
I love how the Vikings are playing, but I gotta go with the Lions. Respect.
Bro, I would love to see the Vikings make a run with Sam Darnold.
For sure, I do too.
I just don't know if it's realistic.
It's just the same way they made a run with not Christian Ponder. What was his name? Case Keenum. I would like to see that for. I like to see that for the Sam Darnold too.
So G and Country, we all got the Lions, correct? As of right now, who you got, EJ?
We're going Vikings.
That ain't sound confident. Justin, who you got?
I'm going Lions on this one.
All right.
Shout out Jamison Williams, by the way.
Seattle versus the Falcons. Who we taking? I'm going to Falcons.
I'm going to say Falcons, even though part of me feels like we're kind of due for one, but I'm going to go Falcons.
I don't think it's this one, though.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Seattle.
All right, so EJ on his own with this one.
Texas. We don't talk on the phone because it might stick. Got to play for the seven, calling Mike Vick. The Falcons beating the Seahawks this weekend.
Hey, I was wondering when you were
wrong. Yeah. I was wondering too.
I couldn't say the rest of them.
Respect.
Crazy.
Texans versus Packers. Who we taking, fellas?
Houston.
You said who now?
I'm taking Houston.
Texans versus the Packers.
At Lambeau. It's cold outside yet.
Packers. I'll go Packers on this one.
I'm gonna say Packers.
Packers.
All right, Country. Just me and you.
That's cool.
Texans versus Bills. Not Texans. Titans versus Bills. Excuse
Bills.
Me.
Bills.
Give me the Bills.
Okay, so everybody on this. All right, great. Panthers versus Commanders. This should be everybody.
Commanders.
If you want to edit, just choose the Panthers.
Is Bryce Young playing this weekend? No, I'm just kidding.
Hold on. I'm going to say Panthers. Nah, the Commanders, though.
Raiders versus Rams.
Rams.
Everybody on this one? Or EJ, you on your own again?
No, I'm going to say Rams because I'm tired of getting my own. I'm tired of getting my own.
Chiefs versus 49ers.
Chiefs.
Ooh. You know what? Give me the Niners this weekend.
Country, who else said Chiefs?
I'm going to say, Chiefs. You know what?
Other than you, Country, who else said Chiefs?
I said Chiefs.
I'm going to say 49ers.
I'm gonna say Niners.
I'm gonna say 49ers.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm gonna say 49ers.
That's what I'm talking about.
Kansas City still undefeated.
Yeah,
they do for an L, bro.
They can't keep putting them blue slips.
They've been deuced for a minute now.
They've been due for an L since what, Sunday Night Football? You know what I'm saying?
Week one. Since week one, they've been due.
Don't worry, the refs got them. The refs got them.
Jets versus Steelers.
Give me the Steelers.
Man, this one hard to call right here. Oh, Pittsburgh just made me mad. I'm gonna say the Jets.
Russell Wilson throwing about 3 interceptions. I'm giving Jets.
Justin, who you got?
I'm mad they started.
I'm gonna go Jets, actually.
Russell Wilson's gonna look like Russell Westbrook if he got dropped on the football field.
Come on, man.
And just was told to play quarterback.
Come on, man.
With no playbook.
Ravens versus the Bucks. Who we taking? It's another great one.
Ravens.
I'm going Ravens, though.
Where that game at?
In Tampa, I believe.
Still Ravens.
Give me the Bucks.
Give me the Bucks.
Lamar about to fly the whole South Florida up to the Tampa, and they about to take over Raymond James Stadium.
Ravens. I forgot this is an NFC team. Lamar doesn't lose to NFC.
Yes,
yeah.
Nah.
Almost got trapped there.
EJ?
Yeah, Lamar.
Okay, so everybody. All right, great.
Give me Lamar.
Nobody trying to edit. Hold on. Chargers versus Cardinals, last game, Monday night.
I'm going to take the Cardinals.
Bro, the Cardinals got to be the most inconsistent team in the league.
Give me the Chargers. Chargers? Justin?
Yep.
Chargers are not good on...
What a game, man.
Unless they playing against the Chiefs.
It's in L.A.
No, it's in Arizona.
Arizona, excuse me.
It's two Monday night games.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, double-headed.
They need to stop. Ain't it because the times be overlapping on... Man, I don't know about this one right here.
Tough one.
I'm taking the Cardinals.
It's tough for the wrong reasons because the Cardinals are just too inconsistent. I don't know who's
going to show Cardinals, up. Since the Cardinals at home, I'll say the Cardinals, but like, I have no faith in it. But it would be like that if I picked either team.
I'm going to go Chargers.
Well, fellas, this concludes the end of the show. But before we head out, we're going to get to my favorite part, the shout-outs. I want to first and foremost thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shout-out to the guys in the studio. Shout-out to Justin. First time on the show, man. Appreciate you coming on.
Welcome aboard, man.
Welcome aboard. Many more to come. Let's keep being great, fellas. Let's keep being consistent.
Hey, man. First off, Shout out to God. Shout out to everybody in the city, Savannah, Georgia. We just went home over the weekend, saw my folks. Just shout out to everybody that helped me along the way, man. You know, thankful for everything. And right now, my favorite number is 59, but I got 59 days until I graduate.
Yes, sir. Shout out to God, man. Shout out to Broward County just because. Shout out to my folks. Shout out to everybody that helped me get to where I am right now.
Shout out to God. Thank you for putting this opportunity into my life. I want to give a special thanks to my parents and really my entire family for really supporting me along the way on just getting on the show in general. So, and thank you all for allowing me to be in this room with you all. So appreciate it.
For sure.
Oh, I just want to give a big shout out to God, and I also want to give a big shout out to myself. You know, like me being able to finish something that I started, only got 3 more days left, we almost done. I'm just happy to be here, just continue to work, being a student leader, being very studious on campus, and you know, just showing my boys some love. Like every time we got something going on, I just want to shout out to all y'all. Y'all doing y'all big ones, and G, congratulations again. Like you're almost there, you're almost to the finish line, and we're going to be right there rooting for you.
Halftime with the Playmakers is produced in the studios of WANM FM 90.5 in the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.